Yes, Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful for this family of God that you've called us all to. And we're so thankful you're teaching us, Lord, how to love you and how to love one another and how to just lean upon each other to get through life staying with you, learning, trusting. We thank you, Lord. So here we come and we pray, Lord. You will hear our voices of praise. You will hear us singing songs of praise. You will hear our grateful hearts, and you will come, abide with us. Spend some time with us here today, we pray. For we join together so that we can encourage one another and that we can be encouraged by you as we spend this time with you. So hear our prayer, hear our praises, and come. Pour your spirit out upon this place. Cleanse us now from all unrighteousness. Let no unclean thing even draw nigh into this place now. Be glorified in your house, we pray. Amen. Please open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're continuing our wonderful, steady journey through 1 Peter chapter 3. We will start in verse 8. As we continue to study what our Lord has preserved here for us in this letter that he, by his Spirit, inspired Peter to write. And here we will read now of the Spirit's advice to followers of Christ on how to live this new life. Keep in mind, he's writing to the diaspora, all the believers throughout what is present-day Turkey that he calls Asia, because that's what it was called then. And so this is advice on how to live this new life. So we will pray, and then we'll read. So Ken, could you pray over the word today for me, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the warriors who wrote your word. We thank you, Lord, for being the Word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the wisdom and understanding. Father, as we read in Proverbs, O Lord, wisdom and understanding are better than any gold, any jewels, yes, anything. Absolutely. And it only comes through you, and it only comes through your Word. So we have come to desire that which is more precious than the most precious stones, than the shiniest gold in this earth, Heavenly Father, Lord. We've come to hear your wisdom and your understanding. We've come to grow by it. We've come to learn from it. We've come to know you better for it. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray over your word, over every heart, every ear, over our pastor's mouth, Heavenly Father, Lord, and over every mind to understand. Let's just have a supernatural and specific conversation with you today, Heavenly Father, Lord. Each and every one of us, may we have an intimate moment with you personally through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
1 Peter 3, starting in verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another, be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Peter keeps using that word, you're called. And he's using it again. We're called to do this. For whoever would love life and see good days, think about that. Whoever would love life, you love life, and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. I love these verses. We begin the very beginning with verse 8. Finally, all of you. And this statement is not trying to bring the letter to a close. It's a summation. The last passages have been speaking to individuals such as servants and wives and husbands about the call, your call to be submitted to one another, your call to be submitted to the government, those things. And we read in 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. And so now this is a word for all believers. We are to be like-minded. NIV says, live in harmony with one another, but others will say, be of one mind, or have a unity of the Spirit. Now, it is not expected that Christians will see eye to eye on everything. That would be uniformity, not unity. The best formula for unity is contained in that well-known expression, in fundamentals, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in everything, love. Matthew Henry's commentary wrote, Christians should endeavor to be all of one mind in the great points of faith, in genuine affection, and in Christian living. They should be like-minded one to another, according to Christ Jesus, not according to man's pleasure, but according to God's word. This is a great point. We live in unity and harmony with one another, not because of our own desire to do so, but because of our desire to be obedient to God's word. I was just hearing another message about this obedience, and we all know it from Samuel. You know, God says, I desire obedience, not sacrifice. Obedience, not sacrifice. The reason is, especially now in the new covenant, this side of the cross, obedience is our sacrifice. We sacrifice ourselves to serve our King. He doesn't need the blood of bulls and goats anymore. He died. He shed his own blood for us. Another reference in this viewpoint is Romans 15. So if you can flip over to Romans 15, verses 5 through 7. I think I might have even read some of these in one of the previous messages. Romans 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. What better reason to live in unity than to be like Jesus, who accepted each one of us just the way we are. He's accepted us. He says, be like me, walk with me. So we must accept one another, and also to bring praise to God the Father. If you look back the page before in Romans 12, 16, it kind of encourages the same idea. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And back to 1 Peter 3:8, it continues then with his list of things that would exemplify the walk of a follower of Christ. Be sympathetic. The Greek word here is sympathēs, which is the root word for sympathy. But it's also translated as compassion. So it depends on whoever did the translations are fairly similar. We see this behavior described very well in 1 Corinthians 12:26. If you remember, it's talking about the whole body of Christ there, and it ends with, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part rejoices, every part rejoices with it. That's what's called unity. I remember talking to a pastor's wife many years ago down in Southern California. We're on vacation, and they got blessed with a house in San Clemente. And, you know, it's a real blessing because housing down there is really expensive. And even though they were, you know, they lived there, it was just a real blessing. And she said, the sad thing was that so many people were jealous of me that I got blessed. Let that not be said of us. People are getting blessed. We rejoice with them. If people are suffering, we suffer with them. Romans 12, 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. This is describing a state of mind of entering into the feelings of others as if they are our very own feelings. So we can be joyful with one another, but we can also be mourning with one another. I just found out this last week the father of the woman that I presided over her marriage, I don't know how many years ago now, over 10 at least, just suddenly passed away, 67 years old. His wife wakes up 3:30 in the morning, and his name is Randy. He's not breathing. So they They get EMS over there. They revive him. They get him to the hospital, put him in a coma to try and see if they could save him. And he died. And his mother, his wife, Patty, is just in shock. Can you imagine that? I'm trying to imagine that. What would that be like? So we mourn with those who mourn as well. Love as brothers. The Greek word here is philadelphos, which of course the root word is Philadelphia. We know Philadelphia, brotherly love. And it's interesting to me, though, that this Greek word is not used anywhere else in the New Testament. It means fond as brothers. It means love as brothers. And so it's tying like a blood family relationship to each other. The believers are not to persecute or hate one another, but to love one another with more than just a common affection. They should be as brothers, brethren, members of the same family. Be compassionate. That's what the NIV says. Others will read, be tender-hearted. The King James actually reads pitiful, which when we think of pitiful, we think of it differently, maybe than the intent, because pitiful here means full of pity for someone who is enduring trouble. The Greek word used is translated as well-compassioned, meaning, you know, sympathetic. Seemingly very similar to sympathy or compassion, the meaning here is to have pity on those who are suffering and in distress. I've been praying for that family ever since this happened. And they really thought he was going to come out of the coma maybe yesterday or today, and he died. And they're just in shock, especially his precious bride. Let us be compassionate and sympathetic. Lastly, be courteous. Be humble. And the meaning is to be humble-minded, humble in spirit. I read one comment that said it's to acquire and cultivate a friendly disposition. Acquire and cultivate. Those are two things that we have to do. We work on being humble-minded. This is not a faked niceness or a faked humility, but a humble-minded attitude that is genuine and is based upon true fondness and love for one another. Peter continues in verse 9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. This whole epistle is written against the backdrop of persecution and suffering. If you've been with me the whole time, that's kind of where it kind of got started. Even in your suffering, be okay with that. Repeatedly, the believers here are urged to suffer for righteousness' sake without retaliating. We are not to repay evil for evil or insult for insult. Instead, we are to bless those who mistreat us and repay insult with kindness. It's very disarming when you do that. As Christians, we are not called to harm others, but to do them good. Not to curse, but to bless. And then God rewards this very type of behavior with a blessing. And we know Jesus taught in his Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew 5, this very concept. So turn to Matthew chapter 5. We'll look to verse 43 through 48. And so here, as we read Matthew, you'll kind of see maybe that this is what Peter was taught. And now Peter is using it to teach all those in the diaspora that need encouragement. 5:33, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. You know, and that still goes around a lot. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not pagans even do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Love your enemies. We're called to pray for them, out of pity or sympathy for them. And we just love them, just as Jesus loved his enemies while he lived on this earth. And if we have enemies, and we have people that are really bugging us, the best thing to do is start praying for them, because your heart will soften towards them. And you'll have that compassion. You'll have that sympathy. You'll have that care for them. Because, you know, that you can see they really don't know Jesus and that this is not good behavior. But I don't want to repeat evil for evil. Jesus tells us to pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. I love that. Sons and daughters. He's speaking to all who believe in him and follow him. And we can all be reminded that while being hung on a cross, Jesus prayed to God our Father, saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Can we have that same attitude when someone's being mean to us in whatever way? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they were doing. And it's interesting, you know who repeated that phrase? Stephen, when he was getting stoned, the first martyr. That's in Luke 23. Anyway, are we not to follow in Jesus' steps? As we read earlier in 1 Peter 2:21, it's also 1 John 2:6, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. If we love only those who love us, what credit is that to us? Even tax collectors, pagans, Gentiles who don't even know the Lord do that. In Luke 26:32, it says, even sinners who love them, even sinners love those who love them. So I looked it up. The Greek word for sinners here means the depraved, the detestable. That's the point of that Greek word. Jesus says we are called to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the meaning of perfect here is to be complete, growing in spiritual maturity, both in mind and in character, actively integrating godly values into your daily lives. That's what Peter is doing with this whole letter by the Spirit of God upon him. He's teaching people how to integrate this new faith that goes away from the old covenant to the new covenant and integrate it into our daily lives. And it always means to be set apart, to be perfect, be set apart for God the Father and not to be like the world. It just seems this letter is constantly calling us to be set apart from the world and to grow to maturity in our walk with Christ so that we will live daily as Jesus did. Seems to me it must have been a problem when he wrote the letter, and I see it's still a big problem for everybody today. But why? Why daily with Jesus? Well, it makes it very simple. So that we may inherit a blessing. Obedience. Blessing. Those committed to following Jesus Christ bless others, not in order that they should inherit a blessing, but because it is God's will and their obligation. And that duty follows from the fact that God has made them inheritors of his blessing. And remember, I decided not to go there, but Paul writes, you have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh. You have an obligation now to me. So expecting such a blessing ourselves, we should be ready to scatter these blessings on everybody, anybody we can see. We should be ready to bear all their reproaches and even wish them well. Can we do that? Bear all their whining and complaining or attacking us, whatever it is that is making us feel very uncomfortable and feel like we're in the presence of something evil. Can we just bear that and just wish them well? The hope of eternal life should make all of our minds calm. And the prospect that we are able to be so exalted in heaven should fill our hearts with kindness and love. Let us imitate our Savior, who so richly blesses us. Kind of be like Jesus. So as to make his case now, Peter quotes from Psalm 34. He quotes verses 12 through 16. So please turn to Psalm 34, and we're going to read a lot more of that psalm, pretty much the whole thing at some point here, to get the full meaning of God's promise given in this great psalm. Psalm 34, starting in verse 9. So this has a real flavor of what Peter's trying to get across. Verse 9 starts with, "Fear the Lord, you his saints." Peter's writing to all the saints. And so he quotes this. He just didn't quote that part. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good deeds, this is the part that Peter quoted, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. He continues, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I think of that family. The patriarch Artavan just passed away suddenly at only 67. Talk about brokenhearted, crushed in spirit. The Lord is close to them. A righteous man may have troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. This is the way our Lord tells us how to live. Fear him, meaning always just be in complete awe of him and have great respect. We are called to keep our tongue from evil and from speaking lies, to turn from evil and do good. The Lord hears our cries and he will deliver us from all of our troubles. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. You have to understand what condemned means. Condemned means you're condemned to die. It means you've gone through the judicial system and this is your guilty verdict. Other translations will say, no one will be desolate. And I think of that as, wow, yeah, left all alone out in the wilderness, desolate. And the meaning is that the Lord will not find his servants guilty and therefore will not condemn them to die. I like the New Living Translation said, but the Lord will redeem those who serve him. Everyone who trusts in him will be freely pardoned. Don't you like that idea? Maybe you guys don't have so much to be pardoned for, but man, freely pardoned? Thank you, Lord. So I was reading some of this from Warren Wiersbe. He had some really interesting comments about this psalm. It describes, he said, what God means by good days. They are not necessary days free from problems. For the psalmist wrote about fears, troubles, afflictions, and even a broken heart. A good day for the believer who loves life is written in here. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days is not one in which he or she is pampered and sheltered, but on which he or she experiences God's help and blessings because of life's problems and trials. See, it's the problems and trials that turn us to him. At least that's the plan, his plan for us, so that we understand we can trust in him, not in the things of this world. And it's also a day in which he magnifies the Lord. We didn't read that part, so let's go to Psalm 34, 1 through 3. It says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak of his praisings. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are discouraged take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. He continues, because it's a day where one also experiences answer to prayer. Verses 4 through 7, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me, freeing me from all of my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. I cried out to the Lord in my suffering, and he heard me. He set me free from all of my fears. For the angel of the Lord guards all who fear him, and he rescues them. And it's a day where one tastes the goodness of God. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who trust in him. It's also a day, which we already read in verse 18, where one senses the nearness of God. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those who are crushed in spirit. What we're trying to see here is that even in those days, cry out. He hears. He listens, and he answers. So if you're ever having a bad day, and you're starting to hate life instead of loving life, read Psalm 34, and you may discover that you're really having a good day in the sight of our Lord. And what to do about it? Cry out. Cry out. Whatever you need to do. Verse 13 says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Back in Peter. Sorry, went back to Peter. This is the constant theme in the New Testament as it describes how we are to live now that we follow Christ. Who's going to harm you? Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What is holy? Same thing. Set apart for God. And he kind of qualifies it here where he writes even in here, set apart Christ as Lord. That's telling us, set apart Christ as Lord. We are to live set apart. Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Romans 12:17 and 18 tells us, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So if someone's being mean to you on the road, live at peace. Don't be like them. Don't engage that. Pray for them. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. What's edification? Well, it means to build each other up, to have a stronger faith. Just build each other up. Edify. To sum up these passages, we are called as followers of Christ to a new life. And this new life is characterized by loving one another. We must purposely choose to love one another. We must purposely choose to love even our enemies and those who persecute and hate us. We must control our tongue. We must do good and hate evil. We are not to simply avoid evil. We are to despise it. I read it every morning in Psalm, no, where is it? Proverbs. You know, shun evil. Fear God, shun evil. We're to shun it because we hate evil. We don't want to be in its presence. And we must seek and pursue peace. As we read in Romans just a second ago, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to build each other up. And then finally, Peter kind of wraps this piece up a bit in verses 14 and 15, 1 Peter 3, 14. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. That's one of my favorite. Do not fear what they fear. What's been going on in our society? And really bad ever since COVID hit. It's all about fear. And then, for some reason, it's just wide open in my eyes. Even when I watch the weather, we're going to be fearful of a drought, we're going to be fearful of a flood, we're going to be fearful of this, we're fearful of that. That is the devil's toy, his plan, his methods. What does it say? Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Let us pray. Help us to set apart ourselves for you, Lord. You surely did that for us. Man, you came to this earth and you hung on that cross willingly so that we would have the blessing of eternal life with you. So we'd have essentially a second chance. But we have to choose the chance. So help us, Lord. All of us here are choosing that chance. But as we live in this world, we always want to be calling out to you and saying, help me in this difficult time I'm in right now. Oh, Lord, my weak faith now. I can only imagine what Patty Smith and Megan and their two sons and everybody in that family are doing, with Randy just suddenly passing away with no notice, no chance to see him in the hospital and speak with him. What pain, what sorrow. So help us, Lord, to be set apart for you, so we're always able to come rushing to you. Rush to them right now, I pray, who are brokenhearted and crushed in spirit, and embrace them. Give them the good news that Randy's now with you, and they will just have to endure the sorrow, at least for a time, because that's the way we are. That's the way you made us, Lord. We miss them. So, Lord, help us to understand. Set ourselves apart. Live as you are telling us to live, to be humble and kind and compassionate, sympathetic, and always pursue peace. Help us, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.